Magandang araw po sa lahat. I'm Jovan Villote and I'm one of the members ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. Isang malaking karangalan at kagalakan na may paglingkuran ko po kayo na ibahagi ang salita ng Diyos. If you have your Bible with you, please turn with me in the book of 1 Peter 4:12-19. Here's a brief introduction ng passage natin ngayong araw. God's love and faithfulness abide to those who endure suffering from the strength that God provides. Peter has witnessed God's gracious promise by giving his own son who suffered once for every sinner and to give hope for every struggling saint. We have a faithful Creator. Therefore, Christians are encouraged to rejoice and endure suffering because when they suffer for good, they share and take part in the suffering of Christ for the purpose of glory, of God's glory. A well-known news article in the U.S. last month wrote, "The coronavirus pandemic is pushing America into a mental health crisis." According to the author, William Wan, I quote, "3 months into the coronavirus pandemic, the country is on the verge of another health crisis with daily doses of death, isolation, and fear generating widespread psychological trauma. Federal agencies and experts warn that a historic wave of mental health problems is approaching, like depression, substance abuse, post-traumatic stress disorder, and even suicide," end quote. Also, one of the leaders of the Traumatic Stress Research Program of the National Institute of Mental Health even mentioned, I quote, "That's what's keeping me up at night. I worry about the sufferings that are going to go untreated on such a large scale," end quote. According to a Kaiser Family Foundation poll, it is said that nearly half of the Americans report the coronavirus crisis is harming their mental health. There was 1,000% increase who have registered and reached out for the emergency hotline for people who have mental and emotional distress. It is possible na mangyari din po ito, ang ganitong senaryo sa atin. Maari po na karamihan ng mga tao dito sa UAE have this kind of experience the same situation. I read the news recently na maraming klaseng di kanais-nais ang idinulot ng lockdown sa ibang tao. Due to quarantine procedures na ipinatupad, there have been violence and physical abuse reported na nangyari sa ibang tahanan. I have read the news about suicides gawa ng paggalugi ng isang kampanya. Others have faced or facing this kind of burning ordeal, like losing their own job or losing a loved one due to health complications. Hindi alam ang gagawin because they are overwhelmed by these situations. You may ask, what necessary steps do people undertake in order to fight this mental illness? How are they dealing with the current pandemic? Based on the response given, they are investing their time, resources, and energy to online therapy sessions to raise concerns and momentarily cure their corona-related anxieties. People are afraid. Data shows depression and anxiety already shaking the nation. Friends, we are in a very unpleasant situation due to the current pandemic, and Christians are not exempted in this dilemma. Not only COVID-19 did affect some of the first world countries, but the entire world, especially in the issue of mental health. If you are a Christian, my question is, how would you respond in a such situation? To whom we should entrust our lives? Before we look at yung nais na ipahiwatig ni Apostle Pedro sa mga Kristiyano noon at ngayon, let me share to you a brief background ng ating passage. 1 Peter is a letter written by Apostle Peter himself. Sa chapter 1, verse 1, it clearly identifies na ang author ay si Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is one of the witness of the sufferings of Christ, as mentioned in 1 Peter 1:5. His given name was Simon, But Jesus, on meeting him, said he would be called Cephas according to John chapter 1, 42. Isinulat niya pa ito while he is in Rome. Peter wrote this epistle apparently just before or shortly after the beginning of Nero's persecution of the church in AD 64. Nero's severe persecution had already begun in Rome and was spreading to the provinces to which Peter was writing. This would place the date of the letter natin in late AD 64 or early 65. In the time of the New Testament, ang Rome ang naging sentro ng pandaigdigang sistema ng gobyerno. At dito rin po makikita kung paano mamuhay ang tao na salungat at may oposisyon sa gospel. As a hostile and pagan society, authorities would slander, ridicule, discriminate against, and inflict physical abuse kung ikaw ay Kristiyano at naging follower ni Jesus Christ. They would mostly be persecuted because of their faith. One of the purpose why sinulat po nito ni Peter addressing sa mga scattered churches sa Asia Minor, sinabi niya sa mga churches na to that a greater persecution was imminent or mas may malala pa na persecution na dadating. Peter then assured his readers that they could rejoice though they may had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Peter exhorted his dearly beloved brothers and sisters to prepare, to be self-controlled, possibly to suffer as Christians according to God's will. As a summary, I think ang passage natin is a practical instruction based on Christ's example in undergoing suffering. In order to endure suffering, Christians are to arm themselves with Christ-like courage, minister to one another with Christ-like service, and commit themselves to God with Christ-like faith. Since this is a great and supernatural encouragement by Peter to Christians who face sufferings, he wanted to encourage every believer to rejoice and endure suffering, for when we share Christ's suffering, God is glorified. Ulitin ko po ulit, and this will serve as our main point sa passage na to. Rejoice and endure suffering, for when we share Christ's suffering, God is glorified. Out of this encouragement, we can see two commands kung ano dapat ang maging response ng isang Kristiyano habang nasa isang matinding pagsubok. The first command na inaddress ni Peter sa mga scattered churches is this: rejoice as you suffer for Christ's sake, verses 12 to 14. And the second command naman ay is to glorify God as you follow Christ's suffering, verses 15 to 19. Simulan po natin sa first command. Rejoice in sufferings as you suffer for Christ's sake. Peter first gives two commands in verses 12 and 13 and followed by a reason sa verse 14. He writes in verse 12, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Peter uses a unique description to address his fellow brothers and sisters. He describes them as beloved. He relates to them like the one who is dearly loved, someone who is deeply prized and valued. To give you an illustration about this kind of love, it looks like ito ay parang pagmamahal ng isang magulang sa kanyang anak. This is like God who look after the needs of His children and knows how to give good gifts to His children. A great act of love na ibinigay sa atin ng Panginoon is when He give His only begotten Son and suffer for our sake, for us to be reconciled and be adopted to His family. Peter's response to God's people is to exhort and give them a command not to be surprised when faced with painful experience. In verse 12, he says, "Do not be surprised." Ang definition ng salita ng surprise na ginamit dito means to cause a strong psychological reaction through introduction of something new or something strange happening. It relates to a strong mental condition that causes a person to be astonished in a particular experience. Ito po ay parang sinurprise ka no, sa birthday mo. I know most of us experience this, na pagsabing, surprise! Tapos magugulat ka. Tapos, bigla ka nang iiyak. That sounds good. Pero iba ang pagkagamit ni Peter dito sa salita na to. He used it in a negative sense. Here, Peter warned his readers about the coming of a more intense period of persecution. He again stressed mental readiness ng bawat na sinabi niya sa 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Sabi dito, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ganun din sa 1 Peter 4, 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. This is a great reminder not only lang sa mga Christians noon who faces suffering, but even today sa mga Kristiyano na dumadanas ng iba't ibang klaseng pagsubok ngayon. Anong klaseng pagsubok ang dadating? At ano ang purpose ng trial na ito? Tingnan po natin ulit sa verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you. A fiery trial or trial by fire, according to New English Translation, describes a kind of unpleasant suffering that Christians might have witnessed. There are two suggestions what the word fiery trial means. It is because a New American Standard Bible, it translates this last phrase na, the fiery ordeal among you. Literally, it could read, the among you burning. The verb is purusei and it's from the Greek word puro, meaning to burn. So, ang unang suggested meaning could be literally expressed because the verse could also be applied a historical reality kung saan pinersecute ni Nero ang mga Christians noon by burning them. Ang second suggestion naman ay metaphorical, as in sa 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, where the context is quite similar. 1 Peter 1:7 is this, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Maari na ang iniisip ni Peter sa pagkagamit ng salita na to refers sa Proverbs 27:21 that fire is the means of testing silver and gold. Because of this positive sense, the word could also be translated as a refining fire. Parang rhetoric ang pagkagamit nito, no? The image of a refiner's fire suggests that such suffering purifies and strengthens Christians. Ang point lang ni Peter dito is to encourage to see God's good purpose behind their difficulties, enabling them to grow stronger in faith and give more glory to God. This is the purpose of this trial, so verse 12. So, what would the Christian do when trial comes? The word comes indicates a time na kung kailan dadating ang mga pagsubok. And if dumating man ang sari-saring pagsubok sa buhay ng isang Kristiyano, though it sounds surprising because there's something strange na nangyari sa kanilang sarili at isipan, ang sabi po dito, when the time comes, do not be surprised. Friends, hindi nila alam at hindi din natin po alam kung anong klaseng pagsubok ang dadating sa buhay natin. But if ever man na dumating ito, this is what Peter said. Look at verse 13. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. Rejoice! I know what you're thinking. Ha? Talaga, Peter? Seryoso ka ba? Mukhang nasisiraan ka na ata ng bayad. Alam naman natin na kung ang tao ay nasa matinding pagsubok, mahirap mag-rejoice, especially kung ikaw ay nasa mahirap na karanasan. Mahirap mag-rejoice kung ikaw ay mawalan ng trabaho at mas pinakamahirap kung ikaw ay namatayan ng isang membro ng isang pamilya. At mahirap kung nadapuan ka ng nakakamatay na sakit. But rejoice, yun yung utos niya. Friends, this is true. At kakaibang encouragement po ito. This is the present command na nais ni Apostle Pedro na dapat gawin ng isang Kristiyano. Hindi nasisiraan ng bait si Peter dito. He is serious in giving this command because he knows the deep purpose of these sufferings. Remember, Peter is one of the witness when Jesus was suffering and he believed na ang lahat ng ito ay may katapusan when Christ returns on earth. Rejoice and be glad. But in the contrary, tayong mga Kristiyano often respond indifferently sa mga trials na dumadating. We don't often rejoice sa mga mahirap na karanasan kasi nasanay tayo sa mga normal na bagay. We tend to rejoice kung okay lang ang lahat. In reality, I know hindi madali ang mag-deal sa mahirap na karanasan. But I think goes beyond na sa tinutukoy na rejoice dito. Could it be na we're not rejoicing because we are not trusting fully our faithful Creator? Our trust lies on something else rather to trust ang Panginoon. And this shows yung sinful nature natin. Rejoice is a condition to be in a state of happiness and well-being, being glad when trials and suffering comes. Believers are exhorted to respond with joy when trial comes, for God is faithful, giving His own Son to suffer and endure in the midst of all sufferings. Jesus Christ serves as our model on how we should suffer. Here are some of the verses in the Bible that speaks about why we should rejoice. John 16:20, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." Matthew 5:12, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Friends, just a quick heart check para sa atin. Are you rejoicing right now sa mga kahirapan na na-experience mo? Or possibly, wala kang sufferings ngayon at lahat ay okay lang. Walang sakit, okay ang trabaho, maraming pagkain sa mesa. If ganito ang pagpapala sa inyo ng Panginoon, how are you using your God-given resources to help those who are suffering? What kind of spiritual and practical blessing you've shared lately sa mga kapatiran natin sa Crossroads? If you are a true Christian, you can totally rejoice in your sufferings because Christ has suffered for everyone and now we are sharing with His suffering. What does it mean to share Christ's suffering? Sabi dito sa verse 13, as you share Christ's suffering, the word as modifies the action that is share. Ang present active command na ito indicates to share or to take part, to fellowship in the suffering of Christ. Since Christ is the one who faced the ultimate suffering at namatay para sa ating lahat, what it means to us, we can rejoice sharing in His suffering. Bagamat, nagpapahiwatig din ito na hindi tayo lubusang makikibahagi sa pagdurusa ni Kristo. To share Christ's suffering then is to embrace rejection, humiliation, and persecution. Anong itsura ng suffering na to sa buhay ng isang mananampalataya? It could mean na inabandon na ka na ng iyong pamilya because of your newfound faith in Christ. When you lose your friends na kasakasama mo dati sa lahat ng iyong bisyo noon, at kinukutya ka at ginawa ka ng kalaban ngayon kasi hindi ka na marunong makisama because you wanted to follow Jesus rather than following the wrongdoing. Friends, if you are suffering this way, do not be surprised. You are on the right path. This is the path to righteousness. This is what means to suffer for Jesus. Tayo ay nabibilang na kay Kristo, kaya hindi lang tayo nakipag-union sa Kanya, sa Kanyang pagkamatay at pagkabuhay, ngunit pati na rin ang pagkakaisa sa Kanyang mga pagdurusa para sa katuwiran. Romans 6:5, "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like his, thus rejoicing in suffering for Christ now will certainly lead to a great rejoicing in his presence when he returns. That is why sinabi ni Peter sa verse 13 ay, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Believers not only to rejoice because they partake and share in the sufferings of Christ, but also they should wait for the time when judgment comes, because this is the time that we will see his glory revealed, which describes as being bright or shining, clothed with splendor and radiance. This is what glory looks like pagdating ng Panginoon. It is a great picture of God's glory when Christ comes back to earth, and he will come and take us, take his suffering children home with him. It is an assurance that those who suffer for in doing good will be glorified with him. So rejoice na kabilang din tayo to witness and receive his glory. Sabi sa Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let's continue to verse 14. It says, if you were insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Ang statement na to, it presents an example of a common persecution na if you're a believer during those time, most likely you will be insulted, will be scorned and mocked, since Christ suffered in this manner as well. Peter exhorts the believers to rest upon God's Spirit when they are persecuted. He is referring to Jesus' teachings in Matthew 5:11, that blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. The word insulted defines to find fault in a way that humiliates the other, like how the crucified robber along with Jesus reviled and mocked him, sa Matthew 27:24. Ang tinutukoy ni Apostle Pedro dito ay, kung ang isang Kristiyano ay kinukutya dahil kay Kristo, sila ay pinagpapala. At bakit? Dahil ang anumang bagay na pinagdurusa natin para sa kapakanan ni Kristo ay isang pribilehiyo at hindi po ito isang parusa. It is a privilege because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. It is the same picture na makikita natin sa Isaiah 11:2 and Matthew 3:16, kung saan ang banal na Espiritu ng Diyos ay dumapo ay Kristo. It refers to the Holy Spirit indwelling presence within all who are identified by the name of Christ, who suffer persecution. This is a great privilege para sa ating lahat, mga kapatid. Sa katapatan at pagmamahal ng Diyos Ama, ay tinuring tayo as a privileged recipient of His divine favor. Even we don't deserve it. This is because of how Christ suffered on the cross to save sinners like you and me. Narinig natin ang mga pagpapala at grasya ng ating Panginoon, and this all part of His redemptive plan to reconcile sinners to Him so that we will have joy in the midst of suffering. Christians, have you trusted your life to God fully as you face various sufferings na dumadating sa buhay mo? How does rejoicing look like as you endure these sufferings? Remember that He is a faithful creator to His promise that He provides peace and rest for those who are suffering and persecuted. So friends, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice as you suffer for Christ's sake. Rest in Him, for He controls everything. Dumako po tayo sa second command. Glorify God as you follow Christ's suffering. Verses 15 to 19. Unlike the sufferings of a true Christians who are unashamed and glorify God in their suffering, there are those Christian naman that Peter wanted to point out and warn the believers. This relates to the suffering of the wicked who will be judged in the time to come. Verse 15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler." Ang main command sa verse na to is suffer. It was placed into a negative form because of the particle na word na none, as Peter addressed his fellow believers. In this verse, it explained why suffering of a Christian should not be marked by wickedness, such as those of a murderer, a thief, evildoer, or a meddler. This statement guarantees that blessing is not granted to anyone who do evil works. For Peter mentioned in the previous chapter, why is it better to suffer for good? 1 Peter 2:19, "For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly." Also, so 1 Peter 3:17, "For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." What Peter is trying to point out, that persecution was no excuse for lawlessness. Sinabi niya kung anuman ang nagawa ng mga tao na to, at kung anuman ang mga dahilan ng kanilang mga sufferings, Christians were to do nothing that would justify punishing them as criminals, even to the point na makialam sila dito. If Christians are to suffer for good, then they should not retaliate. 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless, for to you this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Moving in, so verse 16, "Yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." Here it states another conditional statement. Ang sabi ni Peter sa mga followers of Christ who suffer for good, heto dapat ang gawin ninyo. You should not have a sense of shame, even to the point when you shall be stripped. Hindi ka dapat magkaroon ng isang kahihiyan kahit na hanggang sa ikaw ay mahubaran. Do not be ashamed, but glorify God in that name. Again, this is a very hard command na binitiwan ni Peter. A suffering Christian proves that the Spirit of God dwells in him for the purpose of God's glory. Ang tanong ngayon, how do we glorify God in that name? Talking about the word Christian, three times po ito nag-appear sa New Testament, even sa Acts 11:26, chapter 26 and 28 of the same book, and also sa passage natin ngayon sa verse 16. So ano po ang malalim na kahulugan bearing this name? Well, it is because this name should be a source of praise to God, for it identifies the bearer with the blessings of salvation. This is a good reminder for us ngayon na kung ikaw ay isang Kristiyano, hindi po basta-basta ang title na to. Because it's more than just a title. The cost of this name is your very own life when you follow Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that a person is already a Christian because he grew up in a Christian family, or think that he or she is a Christian because this person sings Christian songs or goes to church regularly and fluently speaks yung Christianese language. Friends, that is not how we bear that name. But the true mark of a Christian is this: the one who is not ashamed but instead glorifies God as they follow Christ's suffering. Mga kapatid, we have the very reason to glorify God and follow Jesus Christ in the midst of a chaotic situation. Why? Dahil hindi tayo pinabayaan ng ating Diyos Ama. Tinawag niya tayo upang maligtas and made known His gospel to us and to other people. And this is the gospel according sa letter ni Peter sa chapter 2, 21 to 25. This is an amazing verse. Read with me. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sin in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Mga kapatid ko sa Panginoon, how amazing is this truth? This was made possible because of God's grace and mercy and His redemptive plan for us. Brothers and sisters, being a Christian is a dear title that no one could ever purchase, because this title would demand the blood of an innocent man who suffered for the sake of sinners like us. That is why God is fully glorified because of the suffering of His Son. Verse 11 of the same chapter says, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I know many of you are suffering as Christians, suffering because you have kept the faith, and I wanted to encourage you to endure the sufferings with the grace and strength that God provides. There are some of us na who suffer from job loss dahil pinipilit kayo ng boss ninyo to cheat or do shady dealings. Even there are suffering moms who give up careers and consciences because they choose to stay at home and faithfully serve her husband and her children. Mag-asawa who are fighting for their marriage kasi ayaw nilang maghiwalay. A believer who is fighting for sin and are enduring suffering and sharing the gospel and so on. My friends, my challenge to you now is to look deep into your heart and ask this question. Am I willing to follow Christ and embrace every suffering? How can I honor and glorify God in my sufferings? Are you willing to take up your cross and follow Jesus? This is what every Christian is waiting. A God-appointed time kung saan ang sufferings natin will end. So verses 17 to 19, it highlights the fullness of glory that is to be revealed when the day of the judgment comes. It follows an order how God will judge the sufferings of the righteous and the wicked. Let's read some verse 17. "For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Ano po yung ibig sabihin ng time for judgment dito? Peter puts in a broader theological context, talking about how and why Christians suffer in verses 12 to 16. Here we see that he states the reason why Christians need to endure suffering and glorify God because judgment will come. To understand yung words na judgment dito, which is krima in Greek, it doesn't necessarily mean condemnation, or else it would change into katakrima. It makes sense because not all people suffer for doing good. There are people who suffer for a bad cause. But this is a broader term na ginamit ni Peter, which can refer to a judgment which results in either good or bad evaluations. Therefore, ang ibig niyang sabihin is that judgment may result in either approval or as a form of discipline as well as condemnation. Para sa mga Kristiyano who suffers for good, it is a blessing and purification. At para naman sa mga evildoers, judgment results to a condemnation and eternal death. The time refers to a season. Ito po yung definite and fixed time for judgment to occur. Matthew chapter 13:30 talks about the time of harvest. Matthew 21:34, time when the fruit is ripe. Matthew 11:13, time when the figs are ripe. So, kanino ito magsisimula? Verse 17 again, judgment to begin at the household of God. Ang phrase na household of God has two valid meanings. First, it could refer to the Christian community as the spiritual temple of God. As living stones, let yourselves be built up into a spiritual house, sabi sa 1 Peter 2:5. Secondly, the Christians refers to as a God's family, which is more difficult to classify, though it's possible po to describe it in this manner. One thing for sure is that judgment will come, and every people will be judged accordingly. The picture is that God has begun judging within the church, and it will later move outward to judge those outside the church. So ang tanong, bakit may sufferings at the same time may judgment na dadating sa buhay ng tao? This is the very purpose ng judgment for Christians again. That God allows in persecution as a disciplinary judgment to purify the lives of those in the family of God. Remember kung anong sinabi ni Peter that mentions of verse 12 na hindi dapat ma-surprise ng isang Kristiyano sa mga fiery trials or burning ordeals na dumadating because yung refining fire na to or refining fire of judgment is leaving no one untouched but Christians are being purified and strengthened by it. As we trust God and growing in holiness while sins are being eliminated. Peter expressed a condition for those who do not obey God. It's stated in a question form. He asked, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Let's continue to verse 18. And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? The verse has the same thought when compared to verse 17. But here, it expressed the words taken exactly from Proverbs 11:31. If the righteous man is scarcely saved, where will the impious and sinner appear? Peter is pointing out that the fire of God's holiness is so intense that the righteous feel pain in its discipline. The impious or a godless person or a person without true reverence for God and sinner will by implication find it to be a fire of eternal destruction. The whole thought ng verse 17 and 18 simply explained as this. If the purifying fire of God's judgment requires for those united to Christ who undergoes trials and suffering, what shall the consummation of the purifying divine presence mean for those who have rejected God's good news? Who will suffer eternally and will face absolute destruction? Kung ang judgment ng Panginoon para sa mga Kristiyano is to purify and strengthen them, ano naman ang itsura ng judgment for those who do not obey sa gospel ng Panginoon? They will be condemned and they will suffer eternally. Lahat ng ito ay mangyayari when God's judgment will be revealed. Romans chapter 2 verse 5, because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. My friends who are not yet in relationship with Jesus Christ, I hope you will not take this as a threat, but consider us as a grace the moment you hear this message. I urge you to repent from your sin and turn to Jesus for your salvation. If you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Our time here on earth is temporal. In these uncertain times, we should ask God for help at sa mga tao na mahal at may tamang pagkatakot sa Panginoon to walk alongside with each other as we endure ang mga trials nito. Let us follow the sufferings of Jesus and give our glory to God for the grace that He has given while we are suffering. Verse 19, Peter instructed each believer to entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. Speaking of entrusting one's soul sa ating faithful Creator, let me share my own personal story that highlights yung glorious deliverance and grace ng Panginoon. Kung paano siya kumilos as I faced a difficult trial 2 years ago. I was overstayed for more than a month because ang school na pinagtatrabahuan ko before was not able to provide an unemployment visa. Pinaasa nila ako na ito ay lalabas. But still, hindi pa rin. No? So, I inquire my status and check if magkano ng yung accumulate na fines for overstaying. I called Pastor Alvin that night before asking for some guidance. And he advised na if ever na pumunta ka man or mag-inquire ako, isama ko daw si Ruth. So the following day, me and my wife went sa Alawir Immigration, same place ng Alawir Central Jail. I went inside sa malaking tent to ask for mercy fines. No? Dahil hindi ko naman kasalanan that I was overstayed. After a long period of waiting, without any questions or clarification, the officer made the judgment. So to make the long story short, I was detained. Nakapasok po ako mismo sa loob ng kulungan. From there, I was not able to contact Ruth. So habang nakapila kami papasok ng kulungan, I was worried and I was scared. I was surprised dahil hindi ko lubos maintindihan ang bilis ng mga pangyayari. But after I prayed and entrusted everything to the Lord, I felt peace. Sabi ko sa sarili ko, Panginoon, if ang situation na to will bring glory sa iyo, even nakakatakot, and you have seen my situation, so be it. Sa loob ng kulungan, I met three Filipinos. I introduced myself to them at yung church natin. And from there, I was sharing the gospel sa kanilang tatlo. I stayed with them and talked to them from 11 a.m. down to 3 p.m. And during our conversation, I praised God and thanked God, for they acknowledged and accepted Christ. And here's the cool thing: after I prayed for them, immediately, tinawag yung pangalan ko ng isang jailer. And just like that, I was out of prison. So in response to God's faithfulness and protection, I thank God na ginamit niya ang asawa ko to explain sa judge yung side ko, why I ended up in this situation. And me and my wife rejoice with singing sa loob ng sasakyan habang umiiyak papauwi sa amin, sa bahay, as we endured this suffering with God's help. Isn't God amazing? That He will remain faithful even to the most difficult situation of our lives. Friends, trust that God can deliver you in these sufferings. That when we follow Christ's suffering, God gets the glory. One thing that is true, believers could be sure that they were being called on to suffer according to God's will. If having committed no crimes, they were suffering slowly because they bore Christ's name. This is a great time to search our hearts and minds and reflect on this question. How is the manner of my suffering right now? What am I doing to make Jesus look great in my sufferings for Him? Did I give all the glory to God when I endured suffering, or keep those credits to myself and others? Peter encouraged the suffering saints to endure through the exercise of a Christ-like faith, just as Christ trusted Himself to His Father who judged justly. Verse 19, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Friends, I don't know what sufferings you are facing right now, but I want to encourage you again in line sa tinuro sa atin ng Biblia, that whenever we face severe sufferings, either past or present experience, instead of being astonished about the unpleasant circumstances, believers should rejoice and endure suffering because they share and take part in the suffering of Christ for the purpose of God's glory. My prayer is that we continue to fight the good fight of faith and entrust everything to the Lord. Rejoice and endure suffering, for when we share Christ's suffering, God is glorified. Let's pray. Panginoon, salamat po ulit sa suffering ng iyong anak na si Jesus, that He suffered in our behalf for us to be delivered in your wrath. Salamat at kami po ngayon ay bahagi na ng inyong pamilya because of the great love of Jesus who shamelessly display Himself in behalf of sinners like us. Salamat po ulit sa inyong banal na Espiritu na nagabay sa amin sa pag-aaral ng iyong salita. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.